the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm not letting any grass grow under my feet, or moss, or whatever it is, man. Getting ready today, heading to Cedar Rapids, Idaho. I'm flying into Cedar Rapids today and being met at the airport by Bob Roof. Heading to I got a busy next couple days in Manchester, Iowa. I'm gonna speak, do some small group stuff with the Roofs today. Get up tomorrow morning, do our show, do some stuff tomorrow afternoon, and then tomorrow night get to speak to, golly, this is kind of unheard of, a Christian gathering at the local high school. Last year they said they had 400 people there. They invited me to come out, and I'm going to talk about passing the salt, what it means to be the salt of the earth. A lot of young kids, fellowship Christian athletes, so that's right up my alley. Then do a little bit of stuff the next Thursday morning, fly back home, and you know, people say, "Golly, Coach, that sounds exciting." In fact, my wife was beating up on me because you like to use the word complain, but yeah, it's just a hassle to pack and load and sit in the airport and let them fondle you when you go through TSA and all that. But really, it's what I've been wanting to do ever since I walked away, just to have impact. Got a call yesterday from another guy out in Iowa who wants me to come to their small town. And so, good stuff's going on, folks. It's really, really going on. And there's an awakening. There's a great awakening. I hate to use that term, but that, you know, there's a great awakening going on. And I just want to encourage all of you this morning. First of all, I ask that you pray for me that our trip would be successful and that the Lord be lifted up. We're doing that for sure. A lot of stuff to share with you today. Hey, do me a favor, Jared. For those of you who got nervous because you didn't get the link, Jared didn't get the link out quite as early this morning. So if you were like me, I was worried. So what's going on? Jared, they throw Jared in jail. He's not here this morning, but we made it through. Jared didn't get thrown in jail. We are here. So thanks for jumping in here, joining us this morning. Let's go to the calendar real quick there, Jared, if you can pull that thing up, because I got some good things. Yesterday was one of those days for me. I was on the phone. Sometimes this thing never stops. Yesterday was one of those. And they had many long conversations, half-hour conversations. Necessary. All of them good. Not complaining about any of that. But my goodness, it being on the phone really, really eats up your time. So that's what my day consisted of yesterday. Let's go to the calendar real quick. Jared's got it up. But let me talk about a couple different things. Today I'm going to go to the Field of Faith lunch meeting. This is what I'm doing in Manchester today. So, listen, this is only for those of you who are out there, okay? If you're in that area and you'd like to come, I got an event going on today. That's tomorrow, actually, at noon. And at the country club, I think, at the golf course. You can slide on down, Jared. So I'm going to be there the 9th and the 10th and back the 11th in October. Let's go down right here. Chad's got a regional Texas Salt and Light Brigade Assembly, October 12th. Are you there, Chad? You want to say about that?
Sure. Thanks, Dave. Everybody that was planning on coming, of course, we're going to kick off on Friday night at 7 p.m., hamburgers and stuff. So if you are planning on coming, please RSVP me if you haven't. Some people I already know that are going to be there. We're going to have another busy weekend on that. On Saturday, we'll be doing some fire-making skills and cooking out, and we'll be cooking actually chili out on the fire. And then we'll do some skeet shooting and stuff about that later on that evening. And of course, Sunday, we'll have, you know, service and communion and everything.
So that's October 12th. That begins Friday. That's at Chad S.'s place. And Moody, Texas. You can click right there on the calendar if you want to see that. Rob Pugh, I know he's with us October. So you see why I'm scrambling here a little bit, right? We're going a lot. I'm not going to Texas. Can't go to Texas. Well, could have gone. It's worked out. So at Church of Rise, Marshfield, Wisconsin, and Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Rob Pugh's put a lot of time and effort and energy. And by the way, Rob, you're very well known in Iowa. A lot of places I go, they know the name Rob Pugh, and they're excited to know that you and I are partnering together. Any information, Rob, to throw out there about October 17th through the 19th?
Yeah, it's going to be awesome, Dave. We have kickoff Wednesday night with a rally. Got a concert with Leighton Howerton. He's a national recording artist. This guy's awesome. He's one of us. And then you and Rusty will speak. Thursday, we go out on the street, and we will be doing a lit drop at 2,000 homes in Marshfield. Another team will be going to UW-Stevens Point to talk to the students there. That's Thursday. Another rally Thursday night with David Arthur, you, Rusty, and Matt Truella.
Wow.
Friday we head to Milwaukee, rally Friday night, and then street.
Hey, Rob, for people don't understand that, how far from Marshfield to Milwaukee?
3.5 hours.
So this is like covering one part of the state to the other part of the state. So we're actually doing an event in Marshfield up north, and then we're driving 3 hours, 3.5 hours down to Milwaukee, and we're doing another one on Friday and Saturday. I'm sorry, Rob, I just want to clarify that.
Yep. And then Saturday morning, we're at the Abortion Center in Milwaukee. And Saturday afternoon, we're joining Missionaries to the Preborn for their monthly tour stop. So,
oh, man, it's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. Listen, folks, if you want to have some fun, if you want to grow some hair on your chest, if you really want to feel the Spirit of God at work in your life, try to make it that event. Rusty Thomas, Operation Save America, is taking part of it. Matt Tuella, Missionaries of the Preborn, are going to be part of it. David Arthur is going to be part of it. Rob's going to be bring the Wisconsin Christian News. He and Ray LeBlanc are up there working hard, trying to put all that stuff together. So praise the Lord. Listen, if you want to get plugged in, get plugged in. I'm driving 10 hours. I'm going to drive 10 hours to be up there. So you say, well, I live in Minnesota. Yeah, so get in the car and drive over there. Well, I live in Michigan. Well, get in the car and drive up there. Come on, we got to. Boy, it's our time, man. It's our time. I'm going to get into that later on. Then Rob, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
As far as I know, we got people coming from about 30 different states. So,
is that amazing?
Yeah. but zero local pastors and probably about six local churchgoers.
I'm going to talk about Pharisees today, Rob. And so we're going to dive into this a little bit there.
Okay.
It is pathetic, isn't it? What do you say about, Lord, don't let me get going on this yet. We have such pathetic Christian leadership. Maybe it's good inside the church. Maybe it's good in there. The families are happy and they get a nice word and they leave there encouraged. But as a whole, the culture is disintegrating, right? That sounds like the opening to my show. We have no leadership. We have no leadership. You know what the shame of shames is? The shame of shames is that Donald Trump is the Christian leader. Donald Trump is. And then we get people complain, well, he's not even a Christian. No kidding. And he's leading. He's leading the charge. And Christian pastors won't get engaged because they might want to hurt somebody's feeling. And I don't want to tell people how to vote. Here's what I want. I want my pastor every Sunday in the church to tell me who he's voting for, because I want to figure out why I don't agree with him. Or if I do agree with him, I want to know that I agree with him. I don't have to sit in a church, try to figure out where my pastor is. I don't want to do that. And I'm going to tell you something. If there is anybody sitting in your church who's going to vote for the demons, we just watched them all. We just watched the demons for 3 weeks. If there's anybody in your church who is going to vote for any of those demons, you got yourself an issue, brother. You got yourself a serious issue. If they can't recognize right from wrong and discern good from evil, you got yourself a serious problem. And so you better bone up and you better man up and you better start leading the charge. Say, listen, coach, I'm not gonna mix politics with my pulpit. Really? Then find a new job, dude. Find a new job, because this ain't politics. This is the very future of America for our children and grandchildren. Well, coach, the Lord's in charge. He's in charge, and it's just like the Bible said it would be, coach, at the end times. Enough to make me get. Who got me on that topic? Is that you, Pew? Did you get me on that topic?
Oh. Probably.
Probably was. If nobody else will say it, I'll say it. If it needs to be said, let me be the one to say it. Okay, Gary, I got lost here. I just firmed up yesterday. We just firmed up yesterday. Where am I? Pennsylvania, Hellertown, PA. I just put the deposit down on the Hellerton American Legion. It's a beautiful facility. Seats plenty of people. All the information there. Say, well, coach, I'm not far from Hellerton, Bethlehem. No kidding. Well, get there. Get there. Get in your car and drive. Come and meet some people, will you? Come and understand that you're not alone. Learn to fellowship with each other. Would you do that? We claim we want to win. We claim we're sick of it, and very few of us will make sacrifices. Very few of us will. So there it is. That's going to be here before you, November 3rd. And then the 10th, the calendar is officially changed, although I don't want to blame Gary or I don't want to blame Jared, because November 10th, we're going to be in Austin, Texas. And we're going to be doing some street ministry in Austin, Texas as part of a larger outreach. So if you are in the Texas area, November 10th. Now, Chad's going to get a huddle going there in Moody, where he lives. But we're going to do something on November 10th that we're going to announce to you and announce to y'all later on. Have I left anything out? David Arthur, have I left anything out there? Folks, listen, David Arthur, thank God Dale Psosha is going to have David Arthur at his church. Thank God Kevin Van Story is going to have David Arthur is at his church. This is a message that we've got to get to our churches. See, listen. Why are we afraid to call sin, sin? Why are we afraid to do that? Why would any pastor, if somebody in your church is in sin, why would you soft soap it? Why would you make them feel okay? If they're in sin, how can they feel comfortable coming to your church? How does that happen?
Yeah, coach.
Give it to me.
One of the reasons is they don't want to offend the people, because when the people walk out, they usually take their wallets and pocketbooks with them. Yep. The other reason is because a lot of these church leaders are struggling with these very same issues.
Mm.
Attractions or the feelings, the thoughts and feelings, the emotions of it all.
Point all.
I wanted to say one thing that I think needs to be said. Guys, if you don't subscribe or donate to the Wisconsin Christian News, please do it, because you have no idea what the Rob Pugh and Wisconsin Christian News is putting out. And it's astronomical. And they're doing over 2,000 door knockers with everybody's information. He is purchasing. They need our support. And so if you can't support them, then think about it, because I really believe
I'm going to make him mad. I don't know how many people are watching the show right now. And I would say this, probably at some point, the people who are watching the show, at some point, were probably part of a church and gave regularly to the church. And if you're not in a church right now, where's your money going? Where's it gone? Why have you stopped giving? And I'm going to tell you this. I put this in my newsletter regularly. If you find somebody doing what we're doing, support it. If you find somebody doing it better than we're doing it, for heaven's sake, support it. If you find somebody doing what David Arthur's doing, support it. If you find somebody doing it better than David Arthur, support it. I'm a rare guy. You know what I'm going to say? If you go into a local church, keep going to that local church, but I'd sure pull back my giving if they're not doing anything. Why do you have to guilt you and have to, Rob Pugh? Why don't you just subscribe to Rob Pugh's newspaper, $50 a year or whatever it is? I don't know what it is. He loses money probably at that. There's nobody doing what Rob Pugh's doing. Nobody in America. Rob, there's nobody doing what you're doing, is there? Doing the Wisconsin Christian News in the way that you do it. Are there any newspapers out there, printed newspapers like this, Rob, anywhere that you know of?
No, not like ours. And it's only $25 a year. So
$25 a year?
A year, that covers our postage and printing. So
Rob, you're crazy. $25 a year? Folks, make it $50 a year. Get a one-year subscription to the Wisconsin Christian News, and he'll mail it right to you. You know, Rob's a bigger star than we know. He's on VCY America. He's got millions of people are listening to Rob Pugh. And Rob Pugh has really kind of risked things because he's publicly locked arms with me. And Rob ain't worried about his ministry going under or anything like that. He understands where we are, the mess that we're in, and that it's only the church that has the answer.
It's imperative we get that message out, brother.
It is. And most of you won't, not most of you, careful what you say here. Turn off your cable TV and then take your monthly cable bill and divide it between Wisconsin Christian News, Coach Dave Live, and the Alphabet Man. Okay, next thing. Listen, we got to amp this one up too. Jared, go to govpray.com, govpray.com. This is something we can all do. Meet you at the polls. We can do this. We can do this. And as I said yesterday, you guys are the A team. There ain't nobody else. There ain't nobody coming. Nobody's coming. And Gary listens to the show taped. And I want you to see, or I'd have him come on. I want you to hear, read what Gary wrote a letter to the editor. Gary sending letters to his local church, local churches. Jared, click on, it says Gary, meet you at the poll. Now, Gary said we can make this letter available to anybody that wants to use it. He sent this letter to the editor, and he's contacting his local pastors. Gary said, I'm going to at least try to give my pastors a chance to step to the plate. At least give them a chance. If they won't, they won't. But we're going to try to give them a chance. You have that coming up there, Jared? I know you do. It takes a while for those things to load, especially on my computer. So, come on, we got to get involved. Meet you at the polls. No, that's not. Is that it? No, that's not it. I sent you one from Gary, didn't I? It says, meet you at the pool, Gary Pierce. All right, buddy, I'm sorry. I didn't make it clear. So Gary grabbed the initiative and said, you know, you're right, coach. If it's going to be, it's up to me. There ain't anybody else that's going to do it. So I live here in Doubton, Ohio, and I'm going to grab the bull by the horns, and I'm going to try to organize. So here's what Gary sent to his local newspaper. The local newspaper is printing this. Attention all patriots and lovers of God. How about that, huh? We in America do not have the government by the majority. We have government by the majority who participate. All tyranny needs to gain a foothold is for people of good conscience to remain silent. Thomas Jefferson said that. As patriots who love God and our country, please read the following letter penned by my friend Kurt, whose website is govpray.com. We invite you to participate in a series of nationwide prayer rallies leading up to the election day in 2018. Are you sick of what's been going on in Washington? Are you concerned about the direction the country's been heading? Do you feel isolated as if you're one of only a handful of people who see what you see and believe as you believe? And are you frustrated because you feel powerless to do anything substantive? I don't think that's right, is it? Anything that will truly make a difference to turn this country around? So what are we asking you to do? Simply this. Spread the word in your church and among your friends to meet at the flagpole at Doubton City Hall on each of the next four Sundays at 3 p.m. Pastors, as our spiritual leaders, please take the lead and make it a church-wide event. If your pastor is unwilling to do so, we the sheep will have to step up to the plate. We as American citizens, the authority, have the authority and the obligation to act. The future of our children and grandchildren are at stake. During the gathering, we will pray, sing a few songs, hear from a couple speakers, and fellowship together. The focus will be on Jesus, and we'll be praying 2 Chronicles 7:14. Each succeeding Sunday, every person will be responsible for bringing a loaf and a fish to the meeting. That is, two new persons not from their own church, and each pastor will be asked to bring two new pastors from a different congregation. After the final meeting on the Sunday before the election, the call will change from meet you at the poll to meet you at the polls, where we will cast our ballots. This would not necessarily be a collective gathering, just a day to exercise our civic responsibility as we fast and pray for God to meet us at our point of weakness, having done all we can do to demonstrate his power and mercy. Will you, your family, and your congregation participate in this meet you at the polls rally? Will you share this information with family, friends, and other pastors and Christians you know? As Paul says in Ephesians 6, it's a spiritual battle we are facing. Some will undoubtedly suffer in one way or another, but this is exactly what we're called to as the body of Christ, expressly to step out in faith to further his will. Please join us as we take this message from poll to poll. Gary Pierce, Doughton president. Pretty good, huh? Pretty good, pretty simple. In their local paper, is going to print it. You know what Gary said, the editor of the paper said? Gary spoke to the editor of the paper. He says, man, I wondered if somebody was going to start doing something. The editor of the paper said that. Guy, I wondered if somebody was going to start doing something. So Gary said, you can take this letter, you can copy it, you can send it to your newspapers, you can send it to pastors. This can be, I believe, we could be on the verge of something really, really big here. Somebody come in and tell me I'm crazy. Somebody come in and tell me I'm not crazy.
You're on the money, brother.
I know we are. I know we're on the money.
Exactly, coach.
We can all do this. We can all do this. All right? We can all do this. And so we got to grab the bull by the horns and get that thing done. Cool? All right. I'm looking over here at what I got. Anything else? I always sneak stuff in here that I miss. Oh, here's what we're dealing with. Hey, Jared, click on college and homos. College and homos. Watch this one, David. See, we don't, I'm one of the few guys still left in America thinks sin is sin. And I don't know if you guys have noticed this, that the cupcakes out in the streets, all of them pounding on the door at the Supreme Court. By the way, when David Arthur can attest to this, when we went to the Supreme Court, back in whatever time that was, we went in the spring and Lowell, you drove us out there. David, you can attest to this. We were not permitted on the Supreme Court steps. Remember that, David? Not permitted. The cop stood up there, says, nope, you got to stay down on the sidewalk. Not permitted on the steps.
Yeah. Even when we went up after the event, they came up and you had your head down. They came up and thought you were praying.
Yeah, the police came up to get me because they thought I was praying on the steps, not allowed to be up there. Yeah, we saw these cupcakes up there pounding on the Supreme Court doors. You all saw that, didn't you? Have you noticed this? They're all young people. Have you noticed this? They're all young. I hate to say this, but for the most part, all young white people. Have you noticed it? You noticed it? Have you noticed the screaming, crazy women, that feminist spirit, that Jezebel spirit? You've noticed this, haven't you? But you say, how could this possibly happen? Well, because we don't believe in sin anymore. We don't believe in sin anymore. Here it is. Look at this on your screen right now. Ban on same-sex couples, Royal Small Christian College. This isn't something sinful, God. So in other words, scroll down through here. Azusa Pacific, I think it is. Look at these girls. Look at those girls. By the way, these are girls at a Christian college. What's it say? You can be queer and Christian. That's what it says on our arm. God is non-binary. See, folks, these aren't people at the Supreme Court building. This is on a recent fall day, a group of protesters gathered in the university courtyard, many holding rainbow flags. About 100 students and faculty members were fighting for the LGBTQ rights on the campus, Christian University. The scene was unusual, though, in some ways radical, given that the location was Azusa Pacific University, a Christian college. The debate was over how God would view the issue of same-sex couples. This isn't something sinful, God, one student said, leading the emotional gathering. This is something beautiful. Yeah, two men in bed pulling on each other's dongs is something beautiful. I pray that we continue to live out the mission of being difference makers, God, that this world be a place of equality, God. See, God is a God of equality. Sin applies to everybody, or anybody who comes. The public display of support for LGBTQ students was a response to the Evangelical Christian University's recent decision to reinstate its ban on same-sex relationships. The school had quietly removed the ban in August and created a new LGBTQ pilot program. Yada 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 yada. I'm not gonna get on. So let me connect another dot for you. See, the church won't stand against sin. Church won't stand against sin. Right? Pastors won't speak out against sin. They won't speak out. Pastors, I hate to use that broad term. But see, listen. Can I talk about cigarette smoking?
Do it, brother.
Let me show you something here. Let me try to enlighten you. I remember back in when I was in school in the 1960s, graduated in 1971, when they first took off with the onslaught against cigarette smoking. You guys remember that? Some of you are old enough to remember it. And in the onslaught on cigarette smoking, they showed us black lungs. You guys remember that? You go into health class and they put pictures up on the wall and they'd show you what lungs look like when you smoke cigarettes, and you've got to quit stop smoking cigarettes because of what happens to your lungs. And they wanted to show you how awful cigarette smoking was and how it would destroy you, right? Jared's got it up on the screen. There it is. Which one of these is a smoke? So they showed us the pictures, right? So smoking, is a sin. I believe it's a sin. It's a habit. Develop a lot of reasons why it happens. People can't break it, but it's clearly a sin. Clearly it is. So today, we openly speak out in our schools about the dangers of cigarette smoking. Oh my goodness, got all kinds of advertisements. You can't smoke here, you can't smoke there. They make anybody who smokes cigarettes to be just the worst person who's ever born. And don't do drugs, and drugs are awful, and just say no, and little DARE programs and everything against that. And then the most diabolical thing that you could ever do is have two men have anal sex with each other and produce a disease called AIDS. And yet our schools say, oh, that's a good thing. That is a really, really good thing. And the churches probably would still be against cigarette smoking. Probably, I think. Maybe they don't do sermons on them, but everybody would admit that being a drunk and smoking cigarettes and using drugs isn't very godly. That's not something a Christian should do. But butt sex, church would say butt sex is okay. Tell me that's wrong. Tell me that's not going on. But see, it is. And because in our desire to have more people come to Jesus, come to know Jesus, which Jesus are people coming to know? So we've dropped the truth in the church. How can we expect the culture to be? See, church leaders won't speak out because there's so much sin in their own lives. And when we turned our focus on pleasing men rather than pleasing God, this is what happened. It's where we are. I didn't mean to get on that ramble.
Coach, yes, what do we do? What does a pastor do when someone actually reads the Bible and says, listen, why are you supporting sodomy?
Well, what do we even ask that? Why are they supporting sodomy? Why are they?
Right.
Can't we see it? Can't we see what's going on? Is it the poison of youth groups? Has the world become the salt of the church? What's going on? These are the things that we have to rise up about. And by the way, why I'm going to Iowa and why I went to Iowa last week. Because people, I got so many comments from people in Iowa emailed me, said, Coach, that was one of the most enlightening things I'd ever heard. We have forgotten who we are and where we've come from. Boy, did that open my eyes. So as I often say to you, much of what we have to do is we have to spread the truth. It's an educational mission that we have to be on. It's not it's not a get saved. The gospel is more than getting people saved. It's more than getting people saved. What does it say in Matthew 20:28? All power is given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach them what? Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That's what we're supposed to do. Not get them saved. It doesn't say go get them saved. Somebody show me where it says go get them saved. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. We're supposed to go and teach. Salvation is part of it. Salvation is a byproduct of going and teaching.
The goal of going and teaching is not salvation. Salvation is a byproduct. The goal of going and teaching is to advance the kingdom of God. That's the goal of church. Advance the kingdom of God, not get people saved. People get saved as the kingdom of God is advanced. We have it backwards. We have our churches filled with people who aren't saved. They go to Christian University. Christian University can't even make a stand against it anymore. I don't even know how I got on here.
Good time to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, reading through 1, verse 1 through 4, I believe, Coach.
1 Corinthians or 2nd?
2nd. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This All is right. the deception of the serpent in the garden. And listen to when Paul says, and you're preaching another gospel, which I have not brought to you.
Amen.
Go ahead and read it, Dale.
Which God ye bear with me for a little while, and my folly indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have exposed to you one husband, that I may present you as a chastised virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through her subtlety, so that your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
Wow.
For if he that cometh preaching another Jesus,
wow,
whom we have not preached, if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Brother.
Thank goodness. That's it. Another Jesus and another gospel. Another Jesus and another gospel. That's it, isn't it? Hey, David, they don't want you to come and preach this Jesus that redeemed you, do they? They don't want that Jesus there, brother. Huh? They want you to come and preach that Jesus that loves and accepts everybody. Isn't that what they want, David?
Absolutely, Coach. That's why I say all the time, they're not even preaching Jesus. They're preaching his attributes.
Well, listen, he said the same one that deceived Eve. What did that serpent say? Did God really say that? I mean, it's the deception right there. Oh, God must have not really. He didn't mean what he just said.
No, he didn't mean that. Did God really say? That's what. Wow. Okay, I don't want to get bogged down on this, but it's good stuff. See, the problems always come back to the church. Always come back. The mess that we are in, we're in this mess because the church has dropped the ball. Church has failed. I want to make a couple points here, and then I want to talk to you today. Well, I'll get there in a second. Kavanaugh was sworn in last night. I'm sure some of you watched that. I want to make a couple points. We ain't never seen anybody like Donald Trump. And I'm not talking about his Christianity. I'm just talking about a spirit that is upon him. No other president in my memory, in my lifetime, would have not flinched the way he did not flinch during that whole mess. He never flinched. In fact, the more they doubled down, the more he maintained his support. Bush wouldn't have done that. Mr. Daddy Bush wouldn't have done it. None of them wouldn't have done it. And he crushed them. Now I'm gonna show you something that I think is important for us to get. Something really, really big going on. Here's where the Democrats screwed up. I just did a little bit of research. They thought Hillary was going to win. Because they thought Hillary was going to win. See, the biggest mistake you can make as a football coach is to underestimate your opponent, to be overconfident. So they thought sure that Hillary was going to win. So they weren't worried. Obama wasn't worried. And you know what we have right now? If they'd been planning ahead, they would have, a year ago, convinced Ruth Bader Ginsburg to step down. So the Sotoro could have appointed some young liberal in his place. He had Kagan. He had Sotomayor. He had that old wart.
Mary Garland.
Well, it doesn't matter. They had that old wart, Ginsburg sitting there.
Right.
They could have gone to her and said, hey, listen, Ruth, you need to step down. But no, they were going to win. It's going to be okay. And then she would step down. And then Barack or Hillary then would name the successor to her. Actually, they wanted Merrill Garland to be in the place of Kennedy. Wasn't that who it was? No, they wanted Scalia. Whoever. What? I'm getting on. Hang on. Bear with me a second, okay? Just bear with me a second.
And then Stephen Breyer, he's 80. He's 80. See, they weren't playing the long game. They were confused in their own power. And we know that pressure could have been brought to bear on both Ginsburg and Breyer to listen, fellas, we got Barry in here, and we don't know about this next election. So Ginsburg and Breyer, time for you guys to step down. And that way we'll bring in two young 40-year-old new justices, and we will keep liberalism going forever. And they misplayed their hand.
Yeah, Coach, you know what it was? They misplayed the hand because they had it in the bag. The election was sewn down. The only thing, they underestimated the American people, and we beat them. So all their secret plans got screwed up. They set up a lot of stuff, and now we're going to take advantage of it.
Well, fellas, from 1960 on, I think I'm right, 58 maybe, 1958 on, if we would go back and look at it. Somebody do math for me real quick. 1958, how long is that? That's 6 years old. That's 60 years.
Right.
For 60 years, the court has leaned left. For 60 years. Because they stacked the court to get the liberals in, and for 60 years, the left ruled. Now, they ruled ungodly because the courts don't make law, but we don't understand the law, so we let the courts make the law, right? 60 years. 60 years. And what we just saw happen was the court just flipped. It went 5-4 conservative, somewhat conservative. 5-4. 60 years. It's been 60 years of courts making law. 60 years of it. Now, I want you to think what's going to happen. Old Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she's now 84 years old. Something's wrong. She's same age as Dianne Feinstein. Something wrong with old Jezebel women like that. Don't ride off into the sunset and go be with their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren. Something wrong when people are that power hungry. But understand what's going to happen. Buzzy Ginsburg, she's going to quit. She's going to get pushed out. And then the court's going to be 6-3. And then Breyer, he's going to look around and say, do I want to stay here and be the minority? Do I want to do that the rest of my life, be on the wrong end of 6-3s and maybe 5-4s? I want to do, no, I ain't interested in doing that. I'm going to go fishing. And so she'll be out of there, and then it'll be 7-2. There's been a cataclysmic revolution that's taken place, and we don't understand it. And so I would say to all those out there who still don't get it, Trump said, did what he said he was going to do. He said he did what he said he was going to do. Now, I don't think Kavanaugh wouldn't have been my pick, but Kavanaugh ain't a lefty. He sure ain't a lefty. And we know that, hey, a lot of problems with Kavanaugh. Maybe we'll get into those someday. But do you understand? You understand the revolution that's taking place? If they'd have just told Ruth Buzzy Ginsburg, get on out of here, they just told her that.
But they're too stupid. It's ghetto thinking. But that's what it was.
Okay. Too stupid. I got something else I got to show you real quick. This is because I think this stuff's all appropriate, okay? 5 minutes of Devin Nunez. See, while we've been watching Kavanaugh and all that stuff going on, there's other stuff that's going on. I'm going to get into the scriptures here in a minute. I promise you I am.
Hey, Coach. Hey, Coach, it's Glenn. I don't think they're stupid. I think it's just hubris.
Yeah.
It's just hubris.
That's right. They thought Hillary would win, and then she would be appointing it, and then she would have a 7-2 majority again to continue this God-hating agenda, right? That's really what it was about. So yeah. While that's going on, we have to demand justice. Listen, folks, we got to go for a turnover. That's why GovPray to me is so important. We got to bring the church out now. I've been saying for 2 years that Donald Trump can't make America great again. But he's blocked the door. He's invited the church in to come and be the church, and we have the opportunity to do it now. And we've got to impress upon our pastors and our leaders, now's the time, baby. Now is the time. And pastors, if you have people in your pews that are voting for Democrats, you ought to run them out. You ought to preach so hard against that you don't have to say Democrat. Just say what they've done. Just say what they're for. Just say what they're for.
Evil. Evil.
And say, well, the Republicans aren't it much better. Well, they are better. They're not much better, but they are better. And we saw this, you know, at the Kavanaugh battle. We now know that three Democratic seats are lost for sure in the Senate. At the worst, it's going to be 54-46. And Joe Manchin is going to switch to Republican because West Virginia has gone Republican. So it's going to be 55-45. That's at least. Who knows what's going on in the House? I don't really care about that. There's a sea change that's taking place. And sometimes when you're in the midst of it, you don't get it. But here's what I want you to see. This has gotten almost no publicity at all. Listen to what Devin Nunes has said about what they've discovered. This is treason at its highest, involving the CIA, the FBI, the deep state. This is 5 minutes. That's unbelievable. Go ahead and play that, Jared.
Welcome back. House Republicans are expected to hold a closed-door interview with Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein this upcoming week. This follows new revelations in the congressional probe into the Department of Justice's handling of the investigation into the 2016 Trump campaign. Last week, former top FBI official James Baker reportedly told investigators there was another source feeding information to the FBI before the agency launched a probe of the Trump campaign. Republicans are calling it a bombshell.
Some of the things that were shared were explosive in nature. I mean, I couldn't believe that I was hearing some of the testimony that here in the United States that the DOJ and FBI were involved with.
During the time prior to the election, there was another source giving information directly to the FBI, which we found the source to be pretty explosive.
And this additional source, he's being identified as Michael Sussman, a former DOJ prosecutor with links to the Democratic National Committee. Sources say he reached out to the FBI to provide documents on Russian hacking. I'm back now with House Intelligence Chairman Devin Nunes. And Mr. Chairman, connect the dots for us to tell us why this is important here. We know that you've been investigating the origin of this investigation that took place into Trump and Russia collusion, which, of course, was never existent. So tell us why this James Baker news is important.
Well, it's very simple. James Baker was the top lawyer at the FBI, reported directly to James Comey. Numerous officials at the DOJ and the FBI have told us under oath that the FBI, nobody at FBI or DOJ knew anything about the Democratic Party being behind the Clinton dirt. Well, now you have one of the top lawyers for the Democrats and the Clinton campaign who was feeding information directly to the top lawyer at the FBI before even the FISA warrant. So now you have absolute proof that that wasn't told to the FISA court. So you want your evidence of FISA abuse? There it is right there. A secret warrant was placed on an American citizen during a political campaign, and yet the FBI did not tell the court that they were getting this information directly from the opponent of that campaign. And this is really bad stuff. It's very simple. I mean, you just had it's not complicated. People should know. It's probably not appropriate for a top lawyer of the Democratic Party to take dirt and give it to the top lawyer at the FBI.
And once again, they did not tell the FISA judge when they were looking to get that FISA warrant to wiretap Carter Page because he was on the Trump campaign. They did not tell the FISA judge that the information was coming from the DNC.
That is correct. And not only that, you also have that many officials have told us numerous times that they had no idea where it's coming from. And don't forget, you had originally the story from FBI and DOJ was that Republicans had started this information and given this information, and that has been totally blown out of the water. Republicans had nothing to do with it, and the top levels of the FBI absolutely knew this, right? I mean, you can't possibly argue that the top lawyer for the FBI meets with the top lawyer for the Democratic Party and just doesn't tell anyone. And so then you fast forward 4 months later. 4 months later, when they come and present the information to Congress, they say, well, we believe that Republicans were behind this. No, Republicans were never behind it. You knew the whole time who was behind it. The Democrats were, and it was so explosive.
It's unbelievable. You can stop there, Jared. It's just unbelievable, folks. So here's why I keep warning you something's going to happen, because these guys are, their foot's in a trap. They know it's in a trap. And so it's like Feinstein's foot's in a trap. Her foot's in a trap. These people are going to gnaw off their own legs. They're going to do whatever they can to save their own hide. And so financial collapse, false flag. Something's coming that's going to try to. Do you understand that part of what was going on in the Kavanaugh hearing, number one, it was to distract what's going on in other places. It was all distraction. Now, they wanted to win that fight. Normally, they would have won it, but they didn't win it. But their goal was to distract, get you to take your eye off the ball. Think about this. When was the last time in the last 3 weeks that you've heard anything about the Russian investigation? Haven't heard anything about it. Big stuff's going on there. And now, especially that Kavanaugh's on the court. Cool. I'm going to open that up. Anybody?
Well, I see the top attorneys for Christine Blasey Ford have dropped their desire to pursue their case anymore. So now they've used her, push her underneath the rug. We don't need her anymore.
Amen. Well, we understand what's going on, right?
Hey, Coach, I watched the I don't know if you're familiar with this guy, Steve from Think About It. I don't know if you've ever seen that. Okay.
He just did
a video. He just, in his latest video, he talked about a meeting that took place in New Hampshire while Trump was in Europe. And he called it the second Bretton Woods meeting.
Right.
There were a lot of the elites were there. And he says the only Trump card, so to speak, left is an economic implosion. That's the only thing that they have left that they can pull. And so that's what he said he thinks is coming.
Financial. I believe it. I believe it as well. And I know this. Trump knows it too. And I don't know how the whole thing's going to play out. But some of the stuff that's being exposed. Remember, nothing hidden that will not be revealed.
I'd like to throw in on that as far as the economic thing.
Yes, Kevin.
One of the things that I think is that he's doing, I believe that he is getting ready to flip the Federal Reserve Board.
Yes.
I think he's going to put us back on a gold standard. I think he's going to put us back on some sort of monetary system where the Treasury becomes whole and completely controlled by the government and not the Federal Reserve Board as it has been before. Now, that reset is going to cause some harm to some people, but I really see that. I see that coming. In my knower, I know something significant is going to be happening, and it's going to be happening very soon, because that's the only other thing that they can do right now is create havoc through the economic system, and I don't think he's going to let that happen.
Folks, I want you to do this. I want you to get in your car today as you're driving around, and I want you to look at how many cars there are for sale. Drive by your new car places where you buy new cars and look at how many cars there are on the lot. And then drive down the road and look at another new car dealer and how many cars there are on the lot. And then as you drive through town, look around at how many used car dealers there are and look at the absolutely glut of automobiles that there are in America. Glut of. This can't go on. It can't go on. And look at how many people are sucking out of the economy rather than paying into the economy. And so if you were really an honest man and you were going to try to remember, the Lord says that he hates unjust weights and measures. If you were really going to try to straighten out this system financially, how would you do it? How would you possibly at this point be able to straighten out the financial system?
And we look at America.
Well, you look at America, and America, we seem to be doing pretty well financially, although we're not. People are living paycheck to paycheck, $21 trillion in debt, $21 trillion other, that's unaccounted. Recent graduates from college burdened with student debt. Folks, this is not going to end. Pensions that are not funded. This is not going to end well. This is not going to be good.
It can't end well. It can't end well if we're paying $36,000 to every adult in Israel.
Well, Benny, we could go through $146,000 in debt for man, woman, and child in the United States, right?
Right.
And so what appears to me that Trump is trying to do is he's trying to – see, remember when America was a standalone country? Whose idea was it to plunge us into globalism and all of these tariffs? Remember when I shared with you earlier – couple months ago, maybe, talking about taxation and the tax system And who's supposed to pay into the tax system? Not the king's kids. Americans aren't supposed to be paying taxes. We're supposed to be getting taxes from foreigners through tariffs. That's how it's supposed to work. But the only way that they were able to break us was to be able to make it so the imports and exports, that balance was so out of whack that we were no longer self-sufficient. And so what Donald Trump is trying to do, what he's been trying to do, is to pull back and make us self-sufficient once again. Let's buy and sell within the good old US of A, and hell with the globalism. Let's get our economy up and running. That's the big fight that's going on. And they say, well, China holds all of our debt, or Russia holds the debt. Well, too bad. Too bad. It's an economic war. At some point, this thing's going to be survival of the fittest. And I'm not smart. I'm sitting here. I was just talking to my wife about it last night. I'm not smart enough to figure out what to do. I don't know what to do. But I can tell you this. This is going to be where they're going to get us. And as soon as this happens, then whose fault is it going to be that the government crashes? Jared, go to Luke 17:25. Golly, I just switched gears on it where I was going to go. Luke 17:25. Let me explain this to you. This is what's going on with globalism and what Donald Trump is trying to do. You understand that our trade deficit is merely because, like, China makes their products very, very cheaply. And they send them over here and they sell them cheaper than American products. But so we have a trade deficit. We're buying a lot of Chinese stuff and they ain't buying much of our stuff because our stuff's more expensive. You take it over to China and nobody wants to buy it because it's too expensive. Trump says, enough of that crap. We got a trade deficit. In other words, China owns us. So Trump said that ain't going to work. And so we're going to make them start paying tariffs. They're going to ship stuff in from China. Well, it's going to be the same price as American stuff. We're going to put a stop to this. Remember when you were a kid, my mom, we would go to the store and I'd pick up something to be really cheap. And my mom would say, Mom, I like that. And she said, oh, well, that's made in Japan. That's made in Japan. Anybody remember that? That's made in Japan. It was junk. Made in Japan. And now everything's made in China. My hats, the hats that we try to, you can't get an American hat. You can't get an American hat. They're made in India. They're made in all kinds of places. And then they sell them over here. And you get what's going on? So this is biblical, folks. I'm in 25, Jared. I'm in, did I say Luke? What did I say? 17, verse 25. It doesn't look like the right place. Matthew, Jared, I must be drunk. Matthew 17. Sorry, bud. Bear with me here, folks. I want you to see this is critical. This is what Trump is trying to apply. Now, I don't think he's doing it from a biblical perspective, but understand this, okay? Let me try to reword this in today's vernacular. And when they were come to Capernaum and they received tribute money, tax money, they came to Peter and says, hey, does your master pay taxes? And Peter says, yeah, of course he does. We're good Christians here. We do. We pay taxes. And when he got into the house, Jesus, who had overheard him, said, hey, Simon, what are you doing, man? Why didn't you tell them we pay taxes? He said, let me ask you a question. Whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute from? In other words, does a father tax his own children? Or does a father charge his own children to sell food out of his driveway? Or does he charge the neighbors to sell food out of it? If you're going to set up a stand, a lemonade stand, is your dad going to charge you to set up a lemonade stand on your own property? Well, no. But what if the neighbor wants to sell lemonade on your property? Well, you're going to charge him because he's not your kid, right? So Jesus is saying, listen, we're not going to charge taxes on the American people. That would be stupid. We're going to tax Chinese people and Mexicans and Europeans who are trying to sell their They're trying to get access to our markets. We're going to tax them. You guys aren't going to have to pay taxes. This is what it says, folks. And he said, whom do the kings of the earth take taxes for? Their own children or strangers? Peter said, well, Lord, strangers. Jesus says, no kidding. You don't have to pay taxes in your own home. You don't have to do that. But he said, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. He had a bigger battle he was fighting. Go out to the sea, cast a hook, take up a fish, and when they open his mouth, there's going to be a coin in there. Go ahead and give that to him. But let me make it clear let him make it clear that the king's kids don't pay taxes. So, folks, the whole tariffs thing has been about breaking America. Our products are the most expensive in the world because our standard of living is the most expensive in the world. So therefore, we can't sell an American car in China. You can, but not as many of them because Chinese people can't afford to buy them. So there aren't any tariffs on them. So they do what? They ship in cars to Korea, no tariffs on them. They're cheaper. We buy this foreign cars. And the trade deficit then, am I making sense? Do you understand why they want world government? Do you understand why they want a global government? Do you understand why they want global trade? It's so they can break the American system, the free enterprise system.
Right. They want to turn us into Africa, guys. Do you know that? I'm serious. This is not tinfoil hattery. If you look all this up, put the points together. They want to turn America into Africa.
They cannot conquer the world until they conquer America. Guys, please understand that. And they cannot conquer America until they conquer Christianity. Please understand that. That is the battle that's going on. And while we see playing out on the streets with Kavanaugh and all that stuff, it was not about Kavanaugh. It was not about Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh is an originalist, so sort of America first. You can't have America first and globalism. And what is it Trump's trying to do? What is Trump's trying to do that's resonating with the people? Why do we close down the steel mills? Why is all of our steel made in China? Why do we close down? Why did they have all these environmental regulations and close down the coal industry? Why? So we couldn't produce those coal miners in West Virginia, couldn't produce any coal. They'd lose their jobs. Our manufacturing base would go away. Walk through Detroit. Walk through Cleveland. Walk through Buffalo, New York. And look what happened up there at the Great Lakes is all this stuff was outsourced. Globalism, see? Anti-Christianism. That's what it is. And so Trump's waking up, says, listen, this ain't going to work. This isn't going to work. We got to bring those jobs back. And the way that we bring those jobs back is we put tariffs not on the king's kids, but on the foreigners. We put tariffs on them so that their products are not cheap.
That's right.
And then when they pay those tariffs, they come in here, they send a car in here and they want to sell the car for $15,000, and we tack another $5,000 on in tariffs. That $5,000 goes to fund the government. It goes to the government. If we don't put the tariffs on, the car comes in for $15,000. They sell it for $15,000. And then the American people have to pay the taxes to fund everything. And our people are leaving because it's cheaper to do business in Mexico. See what's going on? That's why Joe Manchin has to switch parties. Coal industries come alive again in West Virginia. People are waking up. Said, finally.
Pension collapse is coming.
What's that?
Pension collapse is coming.
It's coming, brother. It's coming. It's coming. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just telling you that we got to see what's going on. We have to understand what's going on. See, we are. Oh my goodness. Praise the Lord.
Amen, brother.
Here's what I say. Let it all. If it's going to crash, let it crash tomorrow. Let it crash. Let's get this thing on for our children and our grandchildren.
Don't blame it on Trump.
Let's reboot the system. And the reason they want to start a war is good for the economy. But more importantly, if they start a war, see, it's ultimately all going to be about the American debt, right? And we can't pay the debt. We can't pay. We cannot pay China. We can't do it. So we're going to have to. There's going to have to be some type of war. Something's going to go on. And if Trump continues to do what he's going to do, America will be strong again. The rest of the world will be subservient, and the globalists can't have that. That's what's going on. And don't misunderstand this, man. I don't even know how I got it. The globalists are anti-Christian. Say it again, real slowly, so that you get it. The globalists are the seed of the serpent. That's who they are. They're the seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman is Christianity. And what was once the most Christian nation in the world? Wake up, man. Wake up. We've got to begin to connect the dots and understand that all of these things play together in the great cosmosis battle that's taking place. Seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. And we are not to be ignorant of his devices. We are sitting on the precipice of a reformation, like we ain't never seen. It's already happened. The aftershocks are coming. God bless you. See you tomorrow from Manchester, Iowa. See you then.